B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
First up on the Talkin' Rock podcast, it's Joe Satriani, of course, legendary guitar player, but way back in the day, he was in a band called The Squares. You can actually hear that as that's out right now. He talks about that as well as leaving the band.
It took months, like 6 months of soul searching to finally walk in and say, you know what, you guys can do whatever you want with it. I'm going to do something else. And
how about other bands he's played in? Like, for example, joining Chickenfoot and the fun it's been playing with those guys.
So much fun. I mean, everybody in that band has a huge personality. They could all be front people.
That's just the tip of the iceberg as far as things we discuss with Joe Satriani. Then we switch gears to Chris Henderson from Three Doors Down as he joins me. He talks about health and fitness and CrossFit.
Yeah, well, I lost 129 pounds, and I started the CrossFit journey. I couldn't really do any of it.
The upcoming summer tour with Soul Asylum and the fact that their debut album is hitting a milestone next year.
You know, 2020 is coming up, and it's going to be the 20-year anniversary of the Better Life, so I think we're going to go out and do it right and play that whole record.
And lots more with Chris. Chris Henderson from Three Doors Down and guitar legend Joe Satriani today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
As I like to say, thank you guys so much for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. It is Meltdown here. I know Al Beck hasn't been around. You're probably thinking if you're a frequent subscriber to the podcast, normally do rock news with Al Beck. And just because vacations and different things, we've had this new board installed here at the studio. So we've been out of the studio that we normally do this from for the last week or so. So just a little inside baseball there, but just a lot of things going on. But Al's going to return. I love doing the rock news with him and just talking about that kind of stuff. So I do appreciate you guys checking out the pod. Hey, coming up here second, it's Chris Henderson from Three Doors Down. They're about to venture out on tour for the summertime. And those guys playing with Soul Asylum this year, we talk about that. And I've known Chris for, man, it's got to be almost 20 years now. And he's always a great guy to talk to, just a super good dude. And Joe Satriani as well. I'm trying to think if I've ever met Joe Satriani in person, but I've interviewed him a few times now. And he's just so easy to talk to, just so much fun. And he just fits in perfectly with the Chickenfoot guys because I have interviewed Sammy a bunch of times, Chad Smith as well. I've met Michael Anthony a couple times. So anyways, we'll get into Joe Satriani here first, as he's got this new record, The Squares, which dropped in April. It's actually like his band from the early 80s, late 70s. And that's kind of how we started up the conversation today. Of course, Joe always has stuff going on, and this year's no different. It's Joe Satriani today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Off the road, it just seems like I'm more busy.
Yeah, is that right? Yeah, right, exactly. You got a lot of stuff going on. Well, I'll tell you what, just looking at this Squares thing, I was thinking this right away. It's like, this is like Throwback Thursday on steroids, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's so, wow, yeah. It's the ultimate trip down memory lane for me and the guys. So, and I know for everybody else, taking a lot of people by surprise. I had no idea that this was what I was doing before I went instrumental.
And what year was this that we're talking about with this, the Squares here? Or Squares, I guess.
Boy, it sounds, like out of a chapter of Mayberry RFD or something like that. But we played for the very first time in Jeff Campitelli's parents' garage in 1979. Mm. And he was just out of high school, Jeff on drums, and I'd been maybe living in Berkeley, California for about a year and a half or something like that. Andy Milton, our lead singer bassist, had just come out from Cleveland, Ohio. So, three very different people got together in Jeff's parents' garage, and we had a sort of meeting of the minds about what we wanted to try to do. But really, all the work started in 1980, and we worked for 4 years really hard, and then from about mid-84 to mid-85, it got pretty rocky, and then it just kind of fell apart in early 85.
So that was the experience where you said, you know what, I'm just going to go at it alone.
it's really nice when you wrap it up really quick in a sentence, but I remember it being heartbreaking, because it was like my my brainstorm my baby, and to walk away from it just it seemed so wrong. So it took months, like 6 months of soul searching, to finally walk in and say, you know what, you guys can do whatever you want with it. I'm going to do something else. And then, of course, it was pretty rough. I mean, I was starting from scratch and not thinking that an instrumental career was even possible. It was just something I was going to do while I was looking for a real job, you know.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. So, I mean, growing up, picking up the guitar and stuff, you had no inkling that you could, you know, be Joe Satriani, or you're just going to be in a band and that was going to be cool enough, huh?
Yeah, of course. I mean, boy, when you're young, you know, you don't really have these dreams like in detail, you know. Maybe I should have, but generally I just thought it'll work out. I'll be rocking somehow, you know. And but yeah, once you start growing up, you're in your 20s and you really start doing the hard work, you realize, wow, the specifics of day-to-day, you know, being a musician is pretty rough. Making enough for, you know, rent and everything else, it was hard work. But the transition from being in a band, which I always thought I'd be a guy in a band, like you said, you mm-hmm. know, to being a solo guy was, I think, like a wake-up call, really, ultimately, because I never thought that, you know, Joe Satriani would be a solo artist. It just never dawned on me that it was even possible. It kind of fell on my lap, and I went, well, okay, that seems like fun. And then it was a lot of fun.
Now, I'm just sitting here talking to you, and I'm thinking about this. It's like, were you ever in a band outside of Squares before joining Chickenfoot?
Yeah, after the Squares, I'd say I was kind of drifting around. I was teaching guitar a lot. From 79 to 88, I was basically teaching guitar at a guitar store that was across the street from this little apartment where I lived. And just, you know, as an aside, that's where Kirk Hammett was coming for lessons.
Right. Yeah,
and Alex Skolnick and Larry Lalonde. It was fun, you know. So during the daytime, I had plenty of fun with these kids. So that was great. And I was a young guy myself at the time. So, however, that transition from the Squares into the unknown actually got me right into the Greg Kinn Band, which was a local band that had like a number two record, you know.
Okay.
And they were selling multi-platinum, and we had worked with them a lot as an opening band. They had asked me to join the band a couple of years earlier, and I had declined. But this time around, they were desperate, and I was desperate, so it was just like, great. So I stayed with them for a year. I think it was their last record on EMI or something like that. It was called Love and Rock and Roll. So we did a record. We went out on tour. By the end of that tour, my first album, full-length album, Not of This Earth, finally got released on Relativity, and I started recording Surfing with the Aliens. So it was an interesting transitional period where I just became a guitar player behind Greg, who was a great frontman. And we toured the U.S. It was a lot of fun.
So you've done all the instrumental stuff. Of course, you do the, you know, G3 tours, like all these tours with great guitar players and stuff. And then, I mean, when you join Chickenfoot, do you feel like at a certain degree is lifted off of your shoulders?
Yes. Oh, man. So much fun. I mean, everybody in that band has a huge personality. They could all be front people.
Right.
You know? And you know, I was the odd man out because I was never really a front guy, you know. So it was so much fun to take three steps back and hang by Chad Smith, you know, and
right.
play rhythm guitar and let Sammy, the ultimate front man, just like take the front of the stage and run with it. And of course, Chad, you know, you could barely keep him down, you know. And Mikey together, the three of them were hysterical to work with. Very creative. We worked really fast, very professional, but super creative. You know, I mean, I really wish we were recorded more because we, you know, got a lot to give, you know.
Now, of course, you know, Chad's a Detroit boy and I know him for years, but I mean, would you say that Chickenfoot, and I don't know, this might be a rhetorical question, is like the funnest you've ever had touring, being on stage, the whole thing?
Yeah, it's I got to say, it's right up there. If it's not the most fun, we've had some of the craziest times, you know, where you look around and, you know, in the middle of a show and you go, oh, my God, I can't believe this is really happening. You know, I'm actually living it. This is something you usually see on some sort of rock and roll documentary on Access TV about some crazy band that crashed and burned, you know. But it was always good-natured, you know. I got to say, it was never dark, you know. And maybe it's because we were seasoned professionals, and so we knew how to have fun the right way or something. But each one of them, you know, Sammy, Mikey, and Chad never go dark, as crazy as they got. It was never mean-spirited. It was
right.
Always fun. You know, we all shared a love of the audience, you know, which is primary, you know, for us. You know, it's just like, give the audience a great show no matter what. Don't bring anything personal into it, you know. And some bands don't do that. They bring all the baggage on stage, and it winds up being, you know, a bad time for the audience. So we were never into that, and I'm so happy that the band was unified in that headspace, you know.
Well, knowing Chad like I do, and I haven't interviewed Sammy a bunch of times, and I don't know if I've ever even actually interviewed Michael, but it's like, you know, Sammy's just such a great guy, and Chad and everything. I mean, how can you not have a good time? I guess that was a rhetorical question to
Yeah.
You know, how much fun is that, you know?
Yeah.
So what's going on with that band? I know Sammy just put out his new record and stuff with The Circle and that. I mean, how do you guys get back together? Do you guys have any plans in the future? What's going on?
Yeah, things have been so busy here because of The Circle, mainly because Sammy wound up hiring my son, ZZ, to do the long-form video for the whole album, The Circle album.
Yeah.
And then the subsequent videos for the singles. So we've been continually sort of tied into the whole circle, if I can use that word, of that. You know, we do the every year we do the acoustic benefit together here in San Francisco. So yeah, we're a very close knit circle of friends and coworkers, I guess you might say. And we're always talking about maybe we can do this, maybe we can do that. We were pretty close to doing that Huntington Beach thing, but it turned out my recording schedule created a conflict. So I think Sammy, if I know Sam, you know, he, you know, when he says, look, next year I'm taking off, that's what he says like every year. And after about, I'd say about an hour and a half of year, you know, January 1st, you know, at 1:30 in the morning, he'll call me up and say, hey, I got an idea, you know, let's put the band back together. So, yeah, so you never know, but the door's always open because there's a true connection between the four of us, and we'd all do it in a second, you know.
All right, well, final thing here for you. I know you got other interviews and stuff. So what else do you have going on this year besides pushing the squares and talking about? And by the way, people should go back and listen to this in case they haven't, because it is really interesting to hear a really young Joe Satriani ripping on the guitar and in kind of a different kind of way. But what else do you have going on this year?
This year, I am in the studio with Kenny Aronoff.
Okay.
And Chris Chaney from Jane's Addiction is going to join me. We're going to record a very different sounding record down in Valencia. We have to do three sessions because I've got another Experience Hendrix tour with Kenny Aronoff and Doug Pinnick from King's X. We did one back in March, and they were so much fun. And so we're doing a West Coast run all of October. So I guess I'm going down. I've got a Steve Vai Vai Academy thing to do in New York, back in our hometown on Long Island, in about a month, and then head to L.A., start recording the solo record, go out on the Hendrix tour, come back and finish the solo record, and then 2020 is going to be touring. Probably 20 and 21 is just going to be world tour with behind a new record.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that Experience Hendrix thing is great. And then you can actually stand on stage and play your guitar and watch Zakk Wylde run around the crowd.
That was so much fun. He's so great. Oh my God. You know, I used to tell him, you know, that he was making the rest of us really look lazy. You know what I mean? Because we stand on the stage, and he never stands on the stage. He's every three songs he gets, and 99% of the time he's out in the audience, and the man never stops playing. Never. I've never seen or experienced anything like it. And of course, he's a, you know, he's like a sweetheart of a bear of a guitar player, you know?
Yeah, great guy. And yeah, I think he's like a lead singer trapped in a guitarist body, right?
Is that... Well, he's both. I mean, he's a triple threat because he plays keys and guitar and he sings great. And,
right.
You know, but his spirit is just really great. You know, and people love it.
Yeah. Well, yours is as well, my friend. Joe, always great to talk to you. Always entertaining. I do appreciate that. And, of course, The Squares is out right now, and we'll look forward to some new stuff here from you and the tours and the whole thing. So,
thank you so much. Play some Squares, and we'll have a good time.
Joe, thanks, man. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Well, one guitar is down, one to go. Joe Satriani right there, and Chris Henderson from Three Doors Down coming up here in just a second. And Chris is just like several rock stars that I know that personally have gone through all sorts of battles as far as alcoholism and drugs and different things, and have come out on the other side just a new person, a changed person. They inspire so many people. I mean, just with Brad Arnold from Three Doors Down. We talked about this with him last year. It's like, you know, he really got heavy into drinking and stuff because you got a lot of time to kill when you're out there on tour. You know, you play for that hour and a half a night, but it's the rest of the day that you try to fill. And he's been doing all sorts of things like going sightseeing and museums and different things like that. He told me flat out, he goes, you know what, dude, I was drinking a lot because I was bored. And Chris really hit a wall. We've talked about this in past interviews with Chris as well, where he hit a wall and he was just done, man. He told me one time, he's, you know, an interview, is like, I was just laying on the couch, you know, 280 some odd pounds, and just no, you know, he couldn't do anything. He had no desire to do anything. And he's like, you know what? I got to change something fast. So we do talk a little bit about his CrossFit, the tour coming up, and different things that are going on as far as Three Doors Down is concerned. And Chris is a really good friend of mine, and I'm not sure why he just didn't just call me, but I was on one of these three-way call things, and we were connected, and off we went with Chris Henderson today from Three Doors Down.
What's up, dude?
Hey, man, how are you?
Good, man. He said you were calling when I was talking to you. I was like, you just had him calling.
I know, and I'm just thinking the same thing because now it's like there's this like delay in the whole thing, but that's all right. We'll figure it out. We'll just go with this. So how's things, man? You okay?
Oh, yeah. Can't complain, man. How about you?
Yeah, everything's good. I'm glad that you took some time off Instagram and do some interviews today.
Gotta stay current, man.
Man, you got your dogs, you got your CrossFit, all the other stuff. It's like it seems like that you like Instagram about everything except for music nowadays, huh?
Well, you know what I try to do is everyone knows I'm in a band, so right. I just try to keep things that other things that I'm interested in that might be positive. You know what I mean? That might, you know, instead of politics and all that crap, which I do a little bit of that too, but because I'm not afraid of that. But you know, try to keep it positive and lighthearted and try to get a laugh here and there.
Yeah, I'll let you do, man. It is lighthearted for sure. And I'll tell you what, you're going crazy on all the CrossFit stuff. I saw you're climbing that wall the other day. I was looking at that. I'm watching. That was pretty sweet, man. I'll tell you what, I'll give you a lot of credit. Of course, you know, as people may or may not know, you were 100 plus more pounds a few years back, and now you've shed all that and you've really reinvented yourself.
Yeah, well, I lost 129 pounds, and I started the CrossFit journey. I couldn't really do any of it. You know what I mean? It's like, it was really hard, and it was one of those things where it would have been really easy just to say, I can't do this, and move on to something else stupid that you know, I would have had to do by myself, that I would have just quit, you know. But instead, I stuck with it and refused to quit. And, man, 29 pounds later, I'm doing CrossFit. It's really cool.
Yeah, that's a great story, man. Of course, we've talked about this a bunch of times, but it's really cool how you inspire people with that as well. So, hey, you got the tour coming up here with Soul Asylum and whatnot, and coming through the Motor City in August. That's gonna be pretty cool. I don't know if I've ever seen Soul Asylum. Have you ever toured with those guys before?
We did this summer, and man, they're such a great band. You know what the thing about Soul Asylum is? You don't realize how many songs that you actually know. It's one of those bands, right? Because, you know, they're kind of unassuming. They're not really, you know, they don't have like they don't have like a mystique that follows them. It's, and it's kind of cool that they're just nice and quiet and great. But when they start playing, you're like, damn, they play that one too? Holy moly. And then it's just a hit after hit. It's a really cool band, and they're really good. And the thing about that I really like about them is they sound like you heard, you know what I mean? They sound like the CD the guy sings and the band plays. It's perfect. It's really good.
Yeah.
It's like listening to a CD.
No kidding. It's cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to checking them out this year. Like I said, it's been years. I don't even know if I have seen them before. Hey, so what's going on with your band? I mean, you guys have anything new you're working on? What's happening around Three Doors Down?
Well, we're doing this summer tour just to kind of keep things going and, you know, have some fun and get out and tour and see some folks. But, you know, 2020 is coming up, and it's going to be the 20-year anniversary of the Better Life. So I think we're going to go out and do it right and play that whole record and, you know what I mean, front to back. And then play the other stuff that came later, but I don't know how we're going to do it exactly, or if we're going to do it from point A to point B. But you know what I'm saying? It's going to be something special. We're putting it together, and we're going to do that next year. So that's what we're planning.
Yeah, that's cool. I like it when bands kind of do that. You know, it's funny. You know, it seems weird to say, but the longer I'm in this business, it's like the more anniversaries I seem to come across. I just talked with Ed Kowalczyk from Live and Gavin Rosdale last week from Bush, and both those those monumental records, Throwing Copper and 16 Stone, celebrate their 25th anniversary. And now I didn't even think about that, but yeah, 20 years since not only have I known you, but since Kryptonite. That's unbelievable.
It's crazy, man. I never, ever, ever thought in a million years. You know, I remember when I got out of high school, I joined the military, and I was thinking to myself, 20 years in the military, how in the heck could I possibly do 20 years somewhere? You know what I mean? I couldn't fathom that. I couldn't wrap my head around that length of time. And now 20 years in the music business, man, good Lord. You know, music business, it's not the easiest place to be. And for 20 years, it's quite the thing. I got to pinch myself a bit sometimes.
No, I'm super happy for you guys, man. That is awesome. Hey, I saw a thing as I was, just looking up to see what you guys have been up to and whatnot. It's the anniversary of Vinnie Paul's death coming up. And I know you met VP a few times, right? I think you met him at a hockey game or a football game or something?
I met him at a Dallas Stars game. And then I saw him again at a Nickelback concert, which was kind of cool backstage. And he remembered my name and where he met me and what he said to me. I don't know, have you ever had that experience with him? He's one of those guys that remembered every detail about the first time he met somebody.
Yeah, I've told this story many times, but I kind of became friends with Vinny in the last few years through hockey and just bumping into him. I think I ran into him three times in Las Vegas in three different areas, three different years.
He's a super nice guy, man. It's a shame everything went down like it did, man. He's a super nice guy. Lucky to have known him.
Yeah. Has there ever been a time where you've met somebody in your career? Because I was looking, obviously, Drew Brees and guys like that, where you became starstruck?
Yeah, a couple of times, man. I met the guys from U2 one time and was pretty starstruck.
Wow.
But I think the most starstruck I ever was in my entire life was Elton John. And then, but I moved from him into B.B. King, like in the same movement. So it was kind of like starstruck for like an hour. I couldn't really shake it. So I met the guys from U2, then Elton John, then B.B. King. You know what I mean? And then everybody after those three, I was kind of like, oh, what's up? You know what I mean? I met all the guys from the movie. I was like, oh, what's up? They just met B.B. King.
Wait a second. You kind of cut out a little bit. You met all the guys from who?
From Bon Jovi.
Oh yeah.
And instead of being starstruck for Bon Jovi, because I'm from the 80s, so I should have been really starstruck to see the guys from Bon Jovi, but I just met B.B. King, so it wasn't really that big a deal at the moment, so.
Yeah, no, that's cool, man. I was thinking about, I had dinner earlier this year, and you may have seen it on my Instagram or whatever, and like Bret Hart was sitting across from me, and I was never like a gigantic Bret Hart fan or anything along those lines, but I just thought to myself, holy crap, Bret Hart's sitting across from me having dinner.
Oh, man.
So, hey, have you had a chance to check out the Dirt?
Oh, yeah. I've seen it twice.
Yeah, what are your thoughts?
I liked it, man. I thought it was really cool. I mean, it was, it was a TV show or a movie, so there was a lot of the manufactured drama. But, being a huge Motley Crue fan, I knew a lot of the stories already, you know what I mean? And cause I can remember where I was the morning that I heard that Vince Neil had that car wreck and that guy was killed. And I thought, I thought my life was over because his life was over. Does that make sense? Because I think I was in the eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a that was a big deal to me. Like, no one around me thought it was a big deal. They're like, oh, some rock star guy, you know, I got a DUI and killed someone, big deal. But, I mean, that band was my life, and when that went down, it was a it stopped the presses for, you know, for a few days for me. And so watching that movie and seeing that kind of the scene unfold and how it could have happened and how it could have been, you know, it brought me back to that point. So, I mean, I thought it was a good show. I thought it told the story pretty well. It did the best they could with what they had, and I enjoyed it, man. I thought Machine Gun Kelly was awesome in it.
Dude, he was, as far as I'm concerned, I think he was the guy that portrayed his character the best. There's no question about it. Somebody said to me, they go, yeah, Machine Gun Kelly made Tommy Lee look like a 12-year-old. I'm like, well, that's how Tommy Lee is. But have you had a chance to meet those guys before? And I was going to say, Mick Mars is, you know, you being a guitar player and whatnot. Mick Mars is one of the most underrated guitar players from the 80s, in my opinion.
He really is, man. You know, I've been to Mick's house, and which is really surreal for, you know, because like I said, I was like, when I was in the eighth grade, I had changed my name to Mick because I loved him so much. And so years later, to go to his house, I went with Tyler from Theater of Dead Man, so we were just kind of like, you know, kicking around LA one day, and he was like, hey, man, let's go to Mick Mars's house. And I was like, what, really? And he's like, yeah. So off we went, and it was a pretty cool experience. But I have met all of them on separate occasions. Just, they're all really, really nice guys.
So you talk about meeting Mick. I thought you were going to say you met him somewhere in Nashville. So have you bumped in any rock stars or artists lately in Nashville?
No, I guess, you know, speaking of, every now and then you run into the guys from Cinderella. I live in Hendersonville, and my next door neighbor is Kelly Clarkson. So you're like, she lives down the street from me. So sometimes you'll see her at the red light, you know, which is kind of weird. But, and then who else lives here? The bass player for Cinderella. I see him in the grocery store all the time with his kids. So it's kind of cool, man. There's a lot of artists that live here.
Yeah, Eric Brittingham. I just interviewed Tom Kiefer. I mean, he is one of my favorites. And my wife actually changed a surprise getaway we were going to go do next weekend because Tom's playing. Because I told her I had to see the show because I think that he's so great. Hey, a couple final things here for you, Chris. I'm trying to figure out different things to ask you because I know you've been talking to people all day long. Give me a great piece of advice you've gotten from a fellow rocker.
Oh, wow. Great piece of advice that I've got from a fellow rocker. Get clean as soon as you can and stay clean as long as you can.
And who said that?
Oh, let me see. Who didn't say it? But basically, who said it to me was Zach Myers from Shinedown.
Really?
I had a moment with him at the show. I had a moment with him at a show, one of their shows, where I was, you know, I was out there on, you know, doing what I did, and he saw me, and, you know, I was like, hey, Zach, you know, me and him are really close and really good friends, and he looked at me, and he was like, dude, man, what are you doing? You gotta stop what you're doing, and, you know, it had a profound impact on me, that him saying that, and I never forgot it, you know what I mean? So now that I've got a number of years on the other side of all that, where I've got some, you know, some super clean time, or I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I get to reflect on that. So when you ask me, I mean, that was the best advice I ever got, and got it from him.
Now, people may or may not know, but Zach was, didn't you guys, he roadied for you guys. Didn't you guys call him like Zachy Stardust or something like that?
Yeah, little Zachy Stardust. He was, he coined the term rock star roadie because he was basically the first one, you know what I mean? Like, he was playing with Saliva. He was teching for me. And then at night playing bass for Saliva. And then I think he even played bass for Shinedown for a while. And, you know, subbing for when Brad was in and out. And then when Jason went off the rails, I mean, he started playing guitar a little bit. And then they got most of the other cat they had for, I don't remember, we go through the whole lineup. But anyways, I mean, he was subbing for those guys and checking for me while they were on the road with us. So it was really cool. It was really cool to watch. And it's nice to know that your guitar tech's a great enough player that he can step into your place if you need him. But he can also go play with the opening band. You know what I mean? It's really great.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, listen, man, I know that my time has pretty much run out here, but hopefully when I see you in a couple months here, there won't be a 2-second delay when we're talking face-to-face.
Yeah, weird, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's really kind of difficult a little bit. You should have just called me. But anyways, it's no big deal. So listen, man. Well, good to hear your voice, and good to see you as always on social media and whatnot. And can't wait for the show. It's August 2nd, by the way, here, and it's going to be a great Friday night. I can hardly wait to hang out with you guys and see you guys after it's been a year or so, I guess, since I seen you last time.
Yeah, man. It'd be good to see you, brother.
All right, Chris. Well, listen, man. Safe travels, dude. Good to hear you. We'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Bye, Meltdown. Take care, buddy.
Three Doors Down guitarist Chris Henderson and Joe Satriani today on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Hope you guys dug that. Hey, listen, I'm on vacation, but what I did is I always like to float you guys a pod when I'm on vacation, and I have a good one for you. An hour-long conversation with Ray West from Spread Eagle and Rob DeLuca, also from Spread Eagle. I interviewed them both at different times this week. Well, last week, as you hear this. Rob on the phone, and actually Ray West, I interviewed him on the stage at an empty shelter. Now, the shelter is a concert venue underneath St. Andrews Hall, which is also a concert venue here in Detroit. And the cool thing about the shelter is that was where Eminem did his rap battles back in the day, as depicted in 8 Mile. So it's kind of cool. We're just kind of hanging out, chilling in the shelter doing that interview. And so Ray talks a lot about the upcoming record with Spread Eagle, getting the band back together, his 7 stints in rehab, and a ton more. Rob talks about, of course, the record, touring with Sebastian Bach, playing with a UFO, and tons of other stuff as well. So if you get a chance, come back and check out that interview next week. In the meantime, if you like this podcast, you've made it this far, a 5-star rating, you can leave me some feedback at 248-586-2988. Of course, share it with your friends, write a review, and I just really appreciate you guys listening. Hope you guys dig this, because I love doing this. Thanks so much for listening to Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.